You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Some people say, "I wish that God would reveal Himself." The Bible says that God has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord of justice and Father of mercy, draw those searching for Thee to Thyself. Enable the doubting to realize that Thou hast revealed Thyself in Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Stimulate searching students and arouse the middle-aged. And alert those in their sunset years. Enable these individuals to see that the hour is late, and that Thou shalt not strive with man forever. Turn the stubborn hearts of men and women and children unto sincere repentance, and grant a living faith, O Lord, a Christ-centered and solid faith, to enable Thy children to serve Thee in true holiness. In Jesus' intercessory name we pray. Amen. College and university students are dramatically demonstrating a renewed interest in studying religion. At one major state university, only 3 years ago, a single professor was teaching religious studies. Now, however, due to increasing student interest and even demand, 26 different courses are being offered. But even that is not enough. The director of religious studies at this state university stated that the biggest challenge is now to get enough funds to make it possible to hire enough professors to teach the religion-related courses requested by the students. One chaplain at a Southwestern university explained that today's students are looking for life's answers in God rather than in psychology. These searching students, in their restless religious awareness, realize that God and not man is the center and the ultimate answer to all things in life. Truly it is, as the Bible states, Colossians chapter 1, "And Jesus is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." Now here's what can be a problem. The search for God, even in a book-burdened and knowledge-oriented university setting, can be extremely frustrating. Man-concocted theories of who God is and where He is are as plenteous as the numerous fertile student minds ready to receive them. Oh, how refreshing it is then to hear the trustworthy and the simple and the clearly stated words of Jesus recorded in the Bible, John chapter 14. "Believe me," Jesus said, "that I am in the Father, and the Father in me." And so today, if you are a student or a senior citizen, and if you are searching for God, for the One who has created you and all things, and for the One who loves you in spite of your mistakes, then listen to these beautiful words of Jesus. "He who has seen me," Jesus said, "has seen the Father." This loving message is simple. And if you and I want to know who God is and experience His love and His mercy and His grace, then you and I need only to turn in humble faith to Jesus Christ, in whom God has revealed Himself. Oh, certainly I know that there are those today who will try to deny that Jesus is God. But in their stubborn unbelief, they are denying the clear teachings of the inspired Word of God, the Bible. And as a result, they are also condemning themselves. In the Bible, 1 John chapter 2, we read, "Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This, the Bible states, is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son, the Bible proclaims, does not have the Father, and the one who confesses the Son, however, has the Father also." Oh yes, Jesus Christ is indeed God in every sense. And the blessed assurance offered to searching minds and troubled hearts, found in the loving words of Jesus, states that if you and I know the Savior, then we will also know our gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. This promise can be your immovable anchor in life, your lifeboat in the turbulent sea of distress, and the guarantee of a blessed and eternal hope in heaven. It is not surprising that today many who call themselves Christian find no strength or peace in Jesus. This is because they see Jesus only as a mere human prophet. But did you know, however, that the Bible teaches that Jesus was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead? This is found in the book of Romans, chapter 1. The Bible also states that Jesus had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. And yet, the Bible tells us, Jesus suffered shamefully under the vicious treatment of the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. Jesus was put to death through crucifixion. This horrendous form of execution was reserved and inflicted on only the worst of criminals of that day. And then, to add vicious insult to undeserved injury, as the beautiful Savior hung on the cruel cross, the jeering and mocking crowd cried out and said, "He saved others, let him save himself." Oh, those who killed the Savior by nailing him to the cross should have known better. Even as unbelievers, they should have heeded the divine signs accompanying the death of the Prince of Peace. For in the middle of the day, God the Father caused total darkness to fall over the land for 3 hours. In mid-afternoon, when everything is normally well-lighted, everything was totally dark. The huge veil in the temple of Jerusalem was dramatically torn in two, and the dead in the cemeteries got out of their graves, and they walked around in the city. Imagine this! And then the Bible tells us that after hanging on the accursed tree, and after experiencing the curse of the sins of the entire world, in the darkness Jesus cried out with a loud voice and said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." At that moment, Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the loving Shepherd, and the perfect sacrifice for all sin, died. When this happened, when this event took place, the price that God the Father demanded for your sins and mine was paid for. The prophet Isaiah proclaimed, "But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied." Oh yes, through his innocent death, Jesus Christ paid the price demanded by God the Father for your sins and mine. And now, my friend, let's consider what our sins have cost our loving Heavenly Father. Is it any wonder then that St. Paul admonishes and warns each of us not to accept the grace of God in vain? In the Bible we read, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" Oh no, Jesus did not merely die as a martyr. His death, the death of Jesus Christ, was a bloody sacrifice. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is taught clearly in the Holy Scriptures. And so today, if you are a searching student, don't doubt, just believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Never search for God in vain philosophies or dead-end theories. Just confess confidently, "O Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." And believe also Jesus when he says that if you have seen him, you have seen the Father. Not long ago, the Connecticut Mutual Life Insurance Company conducted a very interesting survey. These researchers learned that Nearly one-fourth of the people in the United States are very intensely religious. This group represents those who feel loved by God, those who go to church regularly, and those who participate in church social activities, and those who have made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. Now, according to this survey, these intensely religious people are twice as likely to have a happy home life as compared to those who are uncommitted or religious in name only. According to the insurance company survey, deeply religious people are twice as likely to find their work meaningful, even though, generally, they have lower incomes. Intensely religious people are twice as likely to reconcile their marriage differences at all costs rather than to get a divorce. And these same researchers further learned that only 30% of the nominally or uncommitted religious group felt that they were happy, but a surprising 70% of the intensely religious individuals considered themselves very happy. Oh, indeed, the blessings of following Jesus Christ can never be measured in statistics, and the results of faith must never be gauged by human feelings, and yet these surprising and impressive results indicate that religiously committed people, especially those committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, are overwhelmingly more happy than the uncommitted. This simple observation by a major insurance firm deserves honest consideration by even the most ardent atheist. For you today, however, being a committed follower of Jesus Christ may seem impossible. For the past months or even years, you may have been trying your best to please God. In fact, just being a little religious and reading the Bible only occasionally and praying from time to time may seem to be about as much as you can manage, at least at this point. And yet, if this is your situation, then listen to this. This is exactly why your blessed and loving Savior is offering you help. The Good Shepherd, as Jesus called himself, earnestly desires to pick you up and to carry you in his loving arms. The Good Shepherd never demands a lost sheep to find their master. The Good Shepherd always seeks the lost in order to help them. Oh yes, Jesus wants to draw you close to him. Jesus desires to encourage you, and he wants to strengthen your faith. In fact, in the Bible, God promises to give all believers in Jesus the same strength that God the Father used to raise his Son Jesus Christ from the dead. And so now, if you have been recently buying books and reading them in your search for God, put them aside. And if you have been thinking of taking a course which compares all the religions in the world in order for you to learn which is the best, don't waste your time. Don't invite more confusion in your mind. Turn your efforts to the Bible. As you meditate and as you rely on the Spirit's help, you will be given hope, and your life will take on a new meaning. You, as an individual, will be transformed. Yes, study the Holy Scriptures, the inspired Word of God. The Bible testifies clearly of Jesus Christ. And when you and I get to know who Jesus is, then we will also know God. Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." If you are confused about which translation of the Bible to read, then write us and we will advise you. For some people, Bible study is a drag or a bore or even a burden. But for those who seek real and lasting meaning in life and not some mere passing emotional religious experience, then reading the Bible and learning more about the author and the preserver of life becomes the most rewarding and the most joy-producing activity that there is. The Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John have been written so that you and I might learn of the joy of salvation. The dramatic and faith-building stories of Jesus have been recorded in the Bible so that you and I might believe, that we might have faith, and that we might trust completely in the blessed Redeemer. And so that by believing in this message, you and I might also have life in Jesus' name. You know, it's absolutely amazing the blasphemous attitude that some bitter individuals harbor against the Bible. The Holy Book has been reviled, ridiculed, blasphemed, demeaned, banned, viciously edited, burned, made the butt of jokes, and even used as toilet paper. in a letter to the editor of Newsweek magazine. A disgruntled and a bitter man from Georgia stated that as long as we believe that the Bible is a God-made book of facts instead of, as he so erroneously believes, a man-made book of beliefs, then we, he said, shall remain mental and emotional retardants. Oh, certainly. In our righteous anger, we could write this misguided and misled individual a scathing rebuttal. Yet, guided by the love of God and motivated by the mercy of God, we shall not. At the same time, however, we on this Christ-centered salvation offering program shall continue to treat the Holy Scriptures with the same attitude that these sacred and inspired writings claim for themselves. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we read, "All Scripture is inspired by God." The entire Bible, ladies and gentlemen, was written under God's direction and by His inspiration. Of course, this does not mean that we are saved because we read or even revere the Bible. Just the act of reading the Bible will profit no one. Some of the world's leading atheists have read and studied the Bible more closely than many Christians. Owning or even carrying a Bible will get no one to heaven. Having a Bible on the living room table does not in itself produce any beneficial results. The Bible, the Word of God, is effective in our lives only when we, by faith, learn who Jesus is from the sacred pages of the Holy Writ. It is the knowledge of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, which transforms our lives and gives us the certainty of the hope of heaven. This is precisely why St. Paul wrote to the young church at Colossae. St. Paul said, "How I long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure of your grasp of God Himself." And if St. Paul were to speak to you today, he would say this: "May your spiritual experience become richer as you study and meditate on the Holy Scriptures and understand more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it lives in Him, and in Him alone, the Bible says, that you will find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Yes, the Bible is your divine handbook of hope. It is your divine guidebook for a meaningful life, and a God-blessed and a joy-filled trip through this life. And the Bible is your divine roadmap to heaven. And so may I suggest to you very strongly and encourage you to read and study the Bible. Then you will no longer have to search for God. In the pages of the Bible, you will learn about Jesus. And Jesus said, remember, "If you have seen me," he said, "you have seen the Father." Yes, the Blessed Redeemer assures each of us as he speaks to our hearts, saying, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." Your search for God can be over. God has revealed Himself to you in Jesus Christ. Believe and trust in the beautiful, loving, and forgiving Savior. And believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will never be disappointed. Amen.